Welcome to the Kinkist.com podcast, the safest, most comprehensive, and educational space for kink, alternative lifestyle dating, connection, and community anywhere on the web. Our goal at Kinkist is to make the experience of connection one of substance and importance in this ever-increasing world of superficial monotony. Are you tired of online communities full of ghosts, bots, catfish, and time wasters? Does a community built upon the pillars of consent, education, and radical inclusion interest you? Head over to Kinkist.com to sign up to help us create a community of people dedicated to consensual play, fun, education, and creativity. Kinkist.com, where we ask, what are you into?
I am your host, The Real McCoy, longtime lifestyler, BDSM practitioner, and educator.
Hello, everyone. I am your host, Matthias Omotola, author, intimacy coach, alchemist, teacher of tantra and cosmic sexuality, practitioner of conscious kink and transformational BDSM.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the first podcast of 2024. We are in.
Yes.
We are in for a time. There he is.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year.
The one, the only. The Real McCoy, everybody. So we're here getting started. And I have to say, I'm super excited about today's show. This is one that I've been looking forward to for a long time. We're here with a very special guest. Today, and today's topic is called, or the episode is called, What the Cuck, right? What the Cuck. And we are here to talk about everything in the world of cuckolding, hot wife lifestyle. With JJ from Sexy Show. JJ, welcome to the show, brother.
Welcome. Hello. Okay. Thank you for having
me. Yeah, so happy that you would join us. Please tell everybody where to find you, because you have an awesome, amazing show in the lifestyle as well. So where can everyone tune in to Sexy Show?
Shuckaroonies. So it's S-E-X-I-E-S-H-O-W, just like foodies for food, sexy for sex. Like for sex nerds, you can find us on Spotify or Apple Music or any pod catcher. It's a fun sex podcast. We play silly, ridiculous games, and I'm a bit of a goofster, so it's more of a lighthearted, jokey, yuck yuck kind of show. We don't yuck the yum. We just yuck the yuck.
Awesome. Well, thanks, JJ. Welcome. It's a great episode that we've got, What the Cuck, you know, because we haven't really covered this on any of our episodes. This is coming in, what are we at? No, episode 65.
Here we are, 65. Oh, my goodness.
65. So yeah, we haven't covered this one. So thank you very much for coming on and talking about it, JJ.
Of course. I had a much more impressive electronic setup, but the audio didn't work out. So even though I'm coming to you from my phone, I have the other crazy.
Yeah, there you go. We can look official.
Yeah, there you go.
The bells and whistles are here. They're just on the shelf.
Yeah. Well, let's start it off for everybody who's tuning in. You know, the term cuck, I think, has been trending up a little bit. I think there's in at least in some of the different spheres, I think in the manosphere, it's been used as a really negative and derogatory term. I think Adam22 has come up a lot. I've seen in the different spaces when it comes to cuckolding and cuck life. But the thing is, I would love for everybody to know what is, what is cuckolding, or how would you describe it? And I guess we can chime in too. So how would you describe cuckolding to the audience?
Sure. I can give my personal experience description. I'm sure you can correct with more of a dictionary appropriate, I guess, but I would say it's a dynamic in a relationship where one partner has the power through fucking other people, and then the other partner is in more of a humiliated, submissive, degradee spot because their partner is fucking other people. And traditionally, it's the female partner is the one with the power fucking other people, and the cuckold is the male partner that is either there to watch or to find out about.
Definitely. I think that's a pretty solid one. I would say the only thing that I would add on to that, so in this dynamic, there's often like two two terms. You'll hear the cuckold and you'll hear the hot wife or hot girlfriend or hot partner. And I think it's exactly right. One person is being sexual. The other one is being humiliated by not having the sex or being withheld sex for a significant amount of time while the partner is expressing full sexual exploration and pleasure and things like that. So thanks for that. Anything you want to add to that, brother?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. It's definitely a power exchange. I would add only that it is an exchange, obviously consensual exchange done from the submissive to the dominant in that situation, which then has the power, like JJ expressed. Whoever the person not being cucked has the power that's given consensually by the cuck.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's an interesting thing because there's a lot of dynamics that come up in the world of cuckolding where, you know, first of all, discussing it, setting up all those boundaries, we'll get into that. But then sometimes people like to find out later. But I think all that stuff usually gets established. So to start this whole thing off, like what led you to exploring the lifestyle, the cuckolding lifestyle, and how has it evolved over time for you and your partner?
Yeah, well, the suffix old is not as appropriate in the origin of this kink for me because I was quite young, I would say. Probably 20, maybe even like 22, 23-ish. And I was in a long-term monogamy, pretty vanilla, on again, off again with the girlfriend. And I didn't realize that I guess I was not made for sexual monogamy at that point. And I was trying every ethical way to like potentially open up our situation. But because we didn't really have the knowledge or the vocabulary or the know-how to define and work around this, both me and my partner, we kind of grew to hate my sexual enthusiastic side for anything other than fucking my girlfriend. And I actually remember, again, it was a while ago. I know I don't look young, but it was a while ago. In that situation, I actually bought a chastity belt as a sign to show her, like, hey, I could have these thoughts in my mind, and you can trust me, and I'll give you the key or whatever. So my first, like, cuck toy that I bought was actually as a means of, like, a bridge to my partner to kind of like symbolically show that I could behave, even though I was verbalizing all these things. I think I was making her paranoid that I was just going to go cheat everywhere. And I think it grew into like watching porn related to it. It kind of grew into, it's kind of therapeutic to like have the other partner be the one fucking other people. And perhaps on some deeper level, like it's a way of being punished for, quote unquote, punished. I realize for some, this is an audio medium. So when I do the quotes, I gotta explain I'm doing the quotes. Be quote unquote punished for having those thoughts that, it's a way to get through.
It's interesting that you say that. I think really it's really brave to have that perspective and to explore in that way. Definitely, I think a lot of new swingers and new masculine males could learn from that perspective on how to introduce your partners to the open lifestyle. If you're coming from, especially coming from a monogamous standpoint, I think maybe exploring whether or not you could potentially have this within you could be a way to open your partner up. Now, it also could backfire in your face very drastically. So as we've said in some of our other episodes, research, communication with your partner. But I think it's a great perspective to have, and it's awesome that you found something out about yourself. Emotionally speaking, though, what did it open up for you and your partner finding those things out about yourself, and how has it been? How do you deal with compersion and these emotions that have come up
with each other.
With that particular situation, I think we just weren't a match overall because she was very much on the monogamy end and I was very much on the ethical non-monogamy end. I didn't know at the time that, oh, I should be with someone who's also ethically non-monogamous, dot, 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 yada, yada. That particular situation, we didn't end up working out. I never cheated, but let's just say we both ended up hating my side, that, you know, the side of me that just wanted to fuck every beautiful person that there was. So that chastity belt that I had, that toy, ironically, even though it's all about locking things up, you could say it unlocked this kind of possibility for me where I could be as slutty and crazy as I wanted, and it didn't have to mean that I'm a cheater. Like, it just added this new lane that I could drive down that it was kind of like a middle ground to between this, you know, vanilla monogamous lifestyle I was in to what the future of relationships would be for me, is that the fun of sex and sexual connection for me isn't always about the end result of, you know, penis and vagina trying to fuck people. It's the fun, windy path along the way and after the way and all around it as well. And so, yeah, for me, I think that was kind of the catalyst. If this were like an epic adventure, that was the inciting incident that led the hero on the journey of, oh shit, I could really get off to not getting sex as well as getting sex. And that kind of relieved a lot of pressure in my heart and my balls, so to speak.
No, that's great. I think, you know, one thing you mentioned, and these two things kind of stood out to me that you talked about. So two things that you mentioned was chastity as an act of devotion. So wearing a chastity belt that would actually restrain you, and then making your partner the key holder, or giving them access and control over your, you know, sexual access or your ability to be sexual. And I think that one act is really interesting as far as a devotional act, and creating that power exchange is literally handing the keys over to drive your sexuality. And then the other thing which is interesting is not only devotion, but also an act of punishment and humiliation. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because the device, you know, is the device. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But the act of punishment and humiliation, how did you architect that in your mind to say, like, ooh, this is a way of being punished? And then how did you know you kind of liked it? Did you have a masochistic side already that you kind of liked either physical pain or restraint? What was it that this act of punishment was somehow arousing to you?
Yeah, I think I'm in some respects a nymphomaniac, potentially was a sex addict. I really, really, really focus on sex a lot. And with that, as someone who's an empathetic, caring, whole human that has whole other sides than me too, not everything is about sex. So I have the urge for sexual things, and then also feel like, oh my God, I'm making this person uncomfortable. I've always caught between, should I be completely unfiltered and make people uncomfortable, or should I be filtered and hide my true self in order to protect people's comfort? Always walking that tightrope has developed over time, I'd say, a fear of like showing certain sides of myself to people that, you know, you kind of lock things away. Same theme of the day. You kind of lock things away in your mind and your heart, and you slowly present them out over time. And what becomes very scary is the idea that someone would laugh at it or be disgusted by it or, you know, blow it out of proportion and, you know, judge you as a whole, which has happened many times to me. It's a very negative, scary thing. And that thing that I think has developed into a huge discomfort, it's very easing and therapeutic to play out in a safe environment that scenario where I, you know, quote unquote, I have all the control, where I could say a safe word and it could stop. I think the same reason why society is obsessed with, you know, murder mysteries or haunted houses. It's like when you have the way to, like, we're afraid of death, but when we experience it in like a safe way, it's kind of calming and therapeutic, and we are less afraid of it. So I think that's why the humiliation degradation aspect of it is so hot for me, is because I kind of slowly, ironically, gain confidence by being punched down so much verbally.
That's awesome. I wanted to go off of one other thing for something that you were talking about, McCoy, is that the emotional side of it, which was very interesting to me. Like, can you talk about all the different emotions? Because there's a term that I've coined in this, which I call cuxitocin, right? Is like, what is that combination? So, you know, cuxitocin is that combination of all those, you know, the angst, the jealousy, but the arousal, the desire, all those combination of emotions that are flowing through you at the time. So what is it like, you know, walk the audience through what's going on when you see your partner, you know, about to be penetrated, making out, building arousal, and then like eventually getting fucked? Like, what is going through your mind and body? Walk them through it for the people who are curious. Like, it's a fantasy, but ooh, it's so edgy. You know, can you walk them through what that's like?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would look at me and be like, what the fuck? Like, that's so bizarre.
Absolutely.
Why would you want that? Like, you're tempting fate, or, you know, what? Why would you do that? I've been skydiving. I don't know if any listeners out there have been skydiving, but the first time that you go skydiving, you're scared shitless. You want to piss and shit yourself. You know, there's a lot of buildup. And you get this like really scared energy until you jump out of the plane. And then it's extremely fun. But here's the beauty of it. Once the parachute opens, it's like the most beautiful, calming thing ever. And the second time you go skydiving, you have the same energy, the same feeling. But I think what changes is how we label that feeling, where first it was complete fear and dislike. Now it's like, kind of want that feeling. I kind of like that feeling. And that was my experience with cuckoldry evolving over the years, is that the word jealous, a lot of people would say, oh, you must not be as jealous because you know, go into these situations enthusiastically all the time. And I would say, in some ways, I am even more jealous. I'm super jealous. It's just like a good feeling. It's a good kind of jealousy. So that, whatever that is, it's like compersion plus a lot of spice added to it. I get this good tasty jelly. The good kind of jealousy is what I feel. So the big protective, territorial, macho bro, when he sees his girl flirting with another guy, he would have negative energy. I get that exact same thing, but it's not negative, but I get the same, oh, but it just comes out as, oh, you know what I mean? Like,
it's just a tone shift.
Is it fair to say that you've learned how to rechannel that energy into a positive way, whereas most masculine, like, male would be pounding their chest and doing it in a competitive way, where you've been able to, since we are emotionally evolved human beings now, we have the ability to rechannel those emotions and rechannel that energy. Would you say that that's something that you've mastered in this process?
Yes, absolutely. And I've seen other people, and I can't speak for what's inside people's minds and bodies, but I've seen other people as the years have gone on in a relationship, they go down more the route of they're not as affected in either way, that they don't have jealousy. There's just like nothing there to replace it so much. It's like, oh, I'm happy for them. I want to give them space, let them do their thing. I respect it. I don't understand it. I can't relate to that, because I am always, you know, I've been with my wife now for 7 or 8-ish years. I think 8 years since I first met her. And the entire time, I've just had this, you know, extreme energy of like wanting to see her with other people. And yeah, it's just, it's like a drug at this point. I